fourth case, Lino v. Gonzalez. Ms. White.
May it please the court, I represent Francisco Lino. In January of 2005, Mrs. Lino was in the final stages of the adjustment of status process. She was at an interview. She was seeking to adjust her status to lawful permanent residency based on her marriage to a U.S. citizen husband. In the course of the interview, it emerged that she had, in fact, been ordered removed from this country in July of 1999. That was an expedited removal order that she got at the border from an immigration officer. She entered the country again 2 months later without inspection, married, and has lived in Woodridge, Illinois, with her husband and her three U.S. citizen daughters. One daughter is five. She has four-year-old twins. The twins were born 2 months early, and they've had ongoing medical needs and therapy needs. And based on that expedited July 1999 order, the government denied the adjustment of status application, reinstated the old July 1999 order, and is ready to send Francisco Lino home to Mexico on that order to remove her. The only relief, it says, that's available to her is to wait 10 years outside the United States and then apply to the Attorney General for permission to come back. Our legal argument in this case, Your Honors, is that there is a way to interpret the two provisions at issue in this case, that is the adjustment of status provision and the reinstatement provision, harmoniously to produce a less draconian result. Turning to the first one, the adjustment of status provision, it doesn't exist anymore. It was a remedial provision. It was in effect from 1994 until April 30th of 2001. It allowed aliens who were in this country illegally, even those who had reentered after being removed, to apply here to adjust their status. And the point of this was that before it was enacted, there had been long, people had gone back to their home countries and adjusted through consular processing. It had been very long. It had meant that families were separated and big hardships were imposed on them. And the consular staffs were backed up. They couldn't get it done. So this was a special program that was enacted. The benefit required that there be, first of all, a petition by a qualifying U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident relative that was filed by the deadline, by April 30th, 2001. That petition had to be approved. There had to be a visa immediately available to the alien. In the case of somebody who's married to a U.S. citizen, that visa is immediately available. Then you have to file the adjustment of status application and an enhanced fee that's part fee and part fine for the illegal presence. If you are admissible, then you're allowed to adjust your status. But if you're not admissible, you're allowed to seek a waiver of inadmissibility and apply for it as part of the adjustment of status process. The whole purpose of this provision, as I said, was to promote family unity and also to ease the backlog for consulates. The reinstatement provision was enacted in 1996. Its purpose was to produce easier, more efficient removals. Any removal order, including an expedited removal order of the kind Ms. Lino received, is reinstated with no opportunity to reopen or challenge the underlying order. The provision goes on to say the alien is not eligible for and may not apply for any relief under the Act. The government says that the effect of that language is to stop the adjustment of status process in its tracks, even if the alien could have waived the prior order. There's no indication in the adjustment of status statute, which was enacted both before the reinstatement provision and twice more after, or in the regulations that it was intended, the reinstatement provision was intended to have that kind of an effect. It had been common before 1996 that people who had come in once, been stopped, got an order, come in again, could adjust, And there's nothing in the adjustment provision to indicate that that was no longer true. Now, you might look at the reinstatement provision and say, well, how much clearer does Congress have to be? But, in fact, the language is not really as unequivocal as it sounds. For example, it says you're not eligible and may not apply for any relief under the Act. But, in fact, you can apply for asylum and withholding of deportation. You can bring a CAT claim. Is also that language is susceptible of meaning that you can't file a new adjustment of status application. If you're picked up coming back into the country and your prints are checked and you have an old order, you can't then say, oh, wait a minute, I want to file an adjustment of status application. But you ought to be able to continue to complete the one you have on file. It could also mean that you can't request any other relief, like cancellation of removal or voluntary departure. But we think it doesn't fairly require the adjustment of status process to be stopped in its track, particularly because if there is a waiver of the ground of inadmissibility that's identified, then there isn't the prior removal order and the reinstatement provision doesn't apply at all. Essentially, this is the argument that the Ninth Circuit made in Paris-Gonzalez with two caveats, two variations on it. One, it made a big difference to the Ninth Circuit that the actual waiver of the ground of inadmissibility was on file before the government uttered the magic word reinstatement. We think that can't, as a practical matter, be the right rule. People regularly go to adjustment of status interviews and find out that the government intends to deny their application for some reason and are then allowed to provide additional evidence to overcome whatever that reason is. In fact, that happens so commonly that there's an acronym to go with it. The government issues the alien an RFE, a request for additional evidence, and then the alien provides whatever evidence the government is looking for. We also think the Ninth Circuit could have been clearer about which waiver it was that the alien was entitled to apply for. We acknowledge that as part of the general tightening up of immigration law in 1996, the grounds of inadmissibility were tightened and the grounds of waiver were limited. We say that Mrs. Leno could equally well be covered by the waiver that's found in Section 212A9B2 or the waiver or the provision that's found in 212A9BC2, that she could equally well be inadmissible, on either of those grounds. The B2 ground has a waiver. The C2 ground does not. The C2 ground requires her to stay out of the country for 10 years before she can even seek permission to come back. We think the rule of lenity sends you to the B2 ground, and that's the one we should be looking at. That waiver would require Ms. Leno to show that it would be an extreme hardship to her U.S. citizen husband for her to be removed. And we think she can make that showing, and she should be allowed to do so and to have the government decide her waiver application. The extreme hardship waiver really respects both provisions. The core objective of the adjustment of status provision, as I've indicated, is to protect not the alien, but the family members, the lawful permanent resident and U.S. citizen family members, who have formed a family unit with the alien and have an uncontested right to be here. It respects the reinstatement provision in the sense that if the waiver is granted, the prior removal order goes away and reinstatement isn't really an issue at all. Furthermore, it doesn't take long to decide this kind of waiver. It's not going to delay the efficiency of the enforcement process. The materials have already been gathered, and they can be presented to the government if the government is prepared to look at them. The government has, in fact, seen the waiver application. It denied it on the basis that not on the basis of the facts presented in it, but the basis that there just was no way out of the 10 years outside the country requirement. So we asked the court to vacate the removal order, to remand this case to CIS for Ms. Leno to present her waiver for complete the AOS process, which was cut off on the government's erroneous belief that it had to be. There she can present her case for the waiver. If it's granted, she can stay. If it's denied, she must leave. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. White. Ms. Edison.
May it please the Court, Kristen Edison for the Attorney General. It's the government's position that the case law supports the government's view that while maintaining that both the reinstatement provision and the terms of the adjustment statute should be allowed to work, the reinstatement statute, with its more specific terms, is controlling here. The plain language of the reinstatement statute provides that if the Attorney General finds that an alien has reentered the United States illegally after having been ordered removed or having departed voluntarily, the prior order of removal is reinstated from its original date and is not subject to being reopened or reviewed. The alien is not eligible and may not apply for any relief, and the alien shall be removed under the prior order at any time after entry. Therefore, this provision provides no relief and there's no limitation. As counsel pointed out, on the contrary, Section 245I, which allowed aliens illegally in the country to remain here to adjust status if they were the beneficiary of a visa petition or a labor cert application, there's only one limited exception under 245I, and that applies for certain Haitian, Nicaraguan, and Cuban applicants. And that exception was made when the LIFE Act was extended, and it appears in the regulations, the reinstatement regulations. And it's the government's position that if Congress had wished to provide or create any more exceptions, it would have done so.
Ms. White described the result here as a draconian. Do you agree with that?
No, it's not the government's position that the reinstatement provision is draconian. The language is clear.
No, in this, the end result in this case, she's been here a long time. She married a lawful alien, permanent resident alien, who's now a citizen. They have three children. Two twins who are in need of medical treatment, medical attention. I guess that sounds draconian to me. Boot her out of the country.
Well, Your Honor,
but I might be wrong. You tell me.
Well,
why.
Respectfully, it's settled that policy choices are made by the political branches, as this court has held in Gomez-Chavez. And also, respectfully, I'd point out that a policy is not flawed just because it has adverse consequences in certain cases. And certainly, in this case, Ms. Lino has equities. But I'd also like to point out that when she reentered the country after she had been ordered removed in the first place, it wasn't as though she was hurrying back to her United States citizen family. At that time, she wasn't married and didn't, in fact, have children. So those are considerations that the court could keep in mind. And additionally, Congress was clear when it created a new, when it revised the reinstatement statute. It wanted to make the system more effective. It was clearly displeased with the previous, with the lack of efficacy of the previous statute. Congress has gone back and amended the INA many times, and the reinstatement language has remained unequivocal. Congress knew that reinstatements were going on when, for example, it extended the LIFE Act. So for that reason, the government's position is not that the language is draconian. I believe that I've addressed many of the points in our brief, but I'd also just like to point out, well, first I'd like to note that the case law, as we've made clear in our brief, is clearly in support of the government's position that the reinstatement statute is controlling here. And with regard to the waiver issue, although Ms. Lino contends that she should be able to apply for the waiver under 212A9B, the fact remains that she's inadmissible, which is required by 245A, the adjustment statute. She's inadmissible under 212A9C, which does not provide for a waiver, and the two are not mutually exclusive. The fact remains that Ms. Lino is inadmissible under 212A9C, and the government chose to find her inadmissible under that ground, and it's their exercise of prosecutorial discretion in order to do that. I believe that the government has addressed its position with regard to the Ninth Circuit's decision in Perez-Gonzalez, as well as the Ms. Lino's purported constitutional challenges. So, absent any questions from the court, I will conclude. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. White.
Briefly, Your Honor, like most things in immigration law, the arguments can go either way. I mean, Congress reenacted the adjustment of status provision twice after it passed the reinstatement provision, too. So I don't know that we're getting any mileage out of that issue. In terms of policy, immigration law is fraught with two competing policies. One is enforcement and the other is sort of reasonable humanitarian concerns. And at any given time, one may predominate and produce one provision, one may predominate and produce another. What we're asking the court to do is to try to decide this case based on the language of the statute without assuming that only one goal is at issue here. Finally, in terms of the waiver Ms. Lino would seek if she had the opportunity to do so, in that process the government would consider, and I think, you know, we have to assume it would give fair consideration both to the family circumstances she finds herself in, to the culpability of her first entry and second entry without inspection, to all the factors that are encompassed in her case, and make a decision from which there's only an administrative appeal. So we think it's a very small concession to allow a person to complete a process before they are summarily removed. Thank you.
Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.